dealing with oaths and our word. Let's read those verses. Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 through 37. Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is his city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Lord, as we come before you this afternoon, Lord, I pray that you would just speak to us through these verses. Help us to understand the importance of truth and absolutes, and that our word needs to be true. And Father, just teach us through your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As Jesus is speaking many of these things, the people have a conception of what is righteous and holy, and a lot of that conception is based upon the priests, the Sadducees, and the Pharisees. However, as we've seen already, Jesus is blowing apart the righteousness of the Pharisees and really telling his own disciples, unless your righteousness exceeds the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so there was great confusion. How could that be? Because they are such righteous men. Well, they really weren't. They were establishing their own set of rules, but they made it appear that they were holy and righteous. One of them came to dealing with the whole concept of saying vows and giving your word. How important is your word? Well, in our country, when we used to have a foundation that was based on Judeo-Christian ethic, and there were a lot of people, that if you weren't a Christian, you knew who Jesus was. If you didn't believe in and follow God as your Lord and Savior, you knew who God was, and there was even fear of the Lord amongst those that didn't profess to be Christians. And there was a difference in attitude at that time. You used to have in business, people would make a contract, and all it would take was a handshake, and the deal was done. And the man's word was as good as his handshake, and that everything would be followed through, and you didn't have to write things out and have all these long extended contracts only to see them the minute the ink is dry attempt to be broken, which is the case today. And what has happened? Well, I think one of the big things that's happened in our culture is we've become relativistic instead of absolute. As you turn from God and his and absolute truth and embrace relativism, and that is that everything is true in a relativistic sense, you have to look at the situation and then you draw what you perceive as truth from that situation, although there is no truth apart from God. So we see that as a culture has changed, our concept of absolutes and truth has changed, although with the Lord it never changes. Well, the same thing was happening in Israel at the time that Jesus came. Now, there's some interesting things that he says here. Let's begin at verse 33. He says, and again ye have heard, it hath been said by them of old time, ye shall not forswear. Now, what does the word forswear mean? It's a word that we don't use in our language very much, but there's another word that you probably have heard that's similar to it in meaning, and that would be perjure yourself, perjury. When one perjures oneself, you say something that's not true, presenting it as being true, and you're really presenting a lie when truth is demanded of you. And so he's saying that you're not supposed to perjure yourself. And that's always been true. You go back into the law of Moses, and he tells you you're not to perjure yourself. You're always to tell the truth. If someone asks you if you're a witness, you're not to give false testimony. We're not to bear false witness. That's perjuring by bearing false witness and not speaking the truth. Oh, Jesus says, you've heard that you're not to perjure yourself. Well, they'd agree with that. But then he goes on and he says, thou shalt not forsear thyself, but thou shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. In other words, who is to be the one that is behind what we say? Well, he's saying it's to be the Lord. When we say something is true, we're basing it upon the fact that we do not tell a lie, and we don't lie, we're not deceitful. Why aren't we deceitful? Because God is not deceitful, and God does not lie. He only is true. And so if we're bearing our statements upon the character of God in relation to his character, then they are true, and they should automatically be true. And so that is where the relationship's to be drawn. Well, you see what was happening with the Pharisees? One of the things that they were doing is they became concerned because sometimes they didn't always tell the truth. And if they swore by the Lord, then they could be in trouble because God would judge them for not telling the truth. So what they would do is they would say, okay, I'm not going to use the name of the Lord because his name is too holy. His name is too just. He is truth. And so I won't use his name, but I'll swear by heaven. So I'm giving reference to the Lord, but I'm not really swearing by the name of the Lord. And so when people hear me say, I tell you this and I swear by heaven that it's true, they're going to believe me because I'm kind of swearing by the name of God. Well, Jesus said, that's wrong. You're not supposed to swear by heaven because that's God's throne. You're not supposed to swear by the earth because that's God's footstool. You're not supposed to also swear, he says, here by Jerusalem because that's the city of the Lord. But you're not supposed to swear by anything. Why? He tells us why, because every time you say something, truth proceeds from your mouth, and it should be truth. Christians shouldn't lie. Those who believe in God should not lie. Now, as I mentioned, we've turned into a culture that's based upon relativism, situational ethics, and deceit. Today, people feel no fear in telling you a lie to try and get you to do something. You've probably all gotten advertisements or something in the mail telling you, oh, this is the greatest thing, it'll do this wonderful thing for you. For example, it'll take away all your wrinkles. It will make you healthy and live to be 100, and you'll have perfect health if you just take these particular vitamins. But then usually, in the real fine print at the bottom, they give their disclaimer that there's really no medical proof that this does what we say it does, but just trust us, because we'd never lie to you. Well, the problem is they want to lie to you so that they can get you to buy their products and do what you would, because you would want to continue to look young, feel good, get rid of your wrinkles, whatever. But Jesus is saying that shouldn't be the life of a Christian at all. We're totally different. We should never lie. Our yeses should be yes, and our no should be no. And why should they be so solid and firm that people would know when we say that? We mean it. Because we reflect the character of God. As those who love the Lord, His Spirit resides in us. We know that the Bible tells us He's in the process of conforming us to the image of Jesus. Did Jesus ever go out to deceive? No. He was totally honest because he was truth. And we see that he never went out with deception in his heart. But we know where the father of deception is because Jesus revealed it to us. And he said that the Pharisees had a problem because their father was Satan. Because if they didn't believe in God as the one who is absolute truth, the one who they needed to look to and follow according to his word, as we saw this morning, with a heart that wanted to follow him and not according to the letter of the law, but desiring to allow the spirit of the law to govern their lives, they were not really believers. And instead, they were following their father, Satan. And Jesus called them that. He said, you are like your father, the devil. And he called them liars, deceivers. He called them vipers. And he said that they'd actually scour the earth to find a convert to follow them and take him closer to hell than heaven. Why? Because they didn't believe the truth. And the truth did not come from their mouths, even though it sounded as if it did. Jesus says, if you're really mine, your heart has been transformed, if you're part of the kingdom of heaven. And having a transformed heart, what you say to people should be rock solid and should be able to base everything that you say as truth. And so when you make a contract with somebody, you shouldn't have to have 300 pages, but you could tell them, I'm going to do this for you, and do it. Now, how significant is this? Jesus tells us. In the book of Proverbs, it says that if we make a contract or a covenant with someone, and then we get into this contract and we realize, oh boy, I made a mistake. Now, let's just take, for example, say that you're going to do a remodeling in a house for somebody. You're a contractor, and you're a Christian contractor. And you go and you give them they tell you what they want done. You give them a price to do it. And you all agree upon what needs to be done as far as what type of products you're going to use and what the finished product's going to look like. And all of a sudden you get halfway into the project and you realize, boy, I made a mistake. This is going to cost me more money than I thought it was going to cost. Now there's some choices you could leave. You could walk away from the job and not finish it. You could say, well, I won't finish it unless you give me more money because I need more money now because I realize now that I made a mistake. Or you could finish it because you gave them your word and you signed a contract or made a covenant with them and you finished the project even though it costs you something to do it. Jesus said that the last one is to be the thing that we do as Christians. Even if we make an agreement, but it's to our error, and it costs us something, we're to fulfill that agreement. Is there any examples in Scripture? Well, we just read of one last night during our time before we went to bed and reading in the Bible. And we were reading about Joshua when he came into the land, and he came, and the Gibeonites came down, and they dressed deceitfully. They went out and they found old, moldy, hard bread. They got out all their old, worn-out clothes, covered them with dust. They made themselves look and appear everything about them. They got wineskins, and they were old wineskins that had tears in them, and they put old wine in it. And they came down to talk to the Israelites and Joshua. And they said, we've come from a long ways. And so we've come and we want to make a covenant with you. We want to make an agreement with you where we will be your ally. You will be our ally. We will support you. You support us. And we'll have this agreement. And they said, well, where did you come from? Far, far away from here. Well, if you go and read the scripture, you'll see that Joshua or the princes of Israel didn't consult the Lord. Instead, they just looked at the example. They said, well, how do we know you've come from a long ways? Well, look, here, have a piece of our bread. It's all moldy and hard. Have some of the wine we've got. It's old, and it's in old wineskins. Look at our clothes and our shoes. We've been traveling a long time. And so they allowed their eyes to see and their ears to hear, and they didn't consult God. And what they did is they made a covenant with the Gibeonites. And as they made this covenant with the Gibeonites, they said, okay, we'll be your allies. We'll protect you. We won't come against you. We won't destroy or take over your land, and you will be our allies. Well, then all of a sudden, they found out they were just right over the hill is where their Gibeonite towns were. It wasn't a long distance away. As a matter of fact, they were part of the Hivite nation, and they were a group of the people that the nation of Israel was to destroy. Now what were they to do? Well, they had some options. They could say, well, they lied to us. We're going to wipe them out. Besides, God told us to wipe out the Canaanites anyway. They're part of the Canaanites, so we're going to. But you know something? that would have made a mockery of God's word. And Joshua said, we have made this agreement in the name of the Lord, and so we are going to honor the name of the Lord because it has been made in the name of the Lord. In other words, our yes is yes, our no is no, and even though you were deceitful with us, we did not consult the Lord, and we agreed and made a covenant with you, so we are going to go forward and honor you, but these will be the conditions of that agreement. You will have to be the ones who chop our wood and bear our water, and you'll also chop our wood and bear the water for the temple or for the tabernacle and for the worship. And so we see that Israel, under Joshua's leadership, because they honored God, even though these people had deceived them, they honored their word. The Israelites honored their word because it was done in the name of the Lord. Well, everything that we do with our lives should be done in the name of the Lord. And so we should honor and bring glory to God with all that we say. And so Jesus is saying here, let your yea be yea, your yes be yes, and your no be no, realizing that every time you speak and make an agreement or a covenant or say something, you're saying it with the Lord. How does that impact our daily lives? Well, you know, there's ways that we sometimes try to skirt the issue of telling the truth. And I've done it, and not proud that I've done it. But maybe you fudge a little and you justify it saying, well, you know, it'll go a lot easier if I just don't say the truth. No. Our yes is to be yes and our no, no. Another way we do it is try to hide it with humor. You probably heard people say, tell you something, and it may be a feeling that they really have about you or about somebody else, and then they say, oh, just joking, as if that's going to make something not true that they've said that they meant to be true. You see, we're not to hide behind humor, we're not to try and skirt issues or be slightly deceitful. There is no such thing as a little gray lie or a little white lie. A lie is a lie is a lie, and the truth is the truth is the truth. Because the truth is based upon God's character, lying and deceit is based upon Satan's. We are the children of the King, and we are to follow Him and reflect His character by the very things that come out of our mouths. So Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand this. Help us to apply these truths to our life. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to see and realize why in our culture today, so many people don't see any significance and importance in making covenants or commitments because they don't understand that we're to be doing it is unto you. And our yes is to be yes and our no to be no. Help us to do that as your children and reflect the character of your Son. This is, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.